Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the daily country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Going to jump straight in. I've got the beautiful lady from Murra-Ullor, Cassie Lang, on the line. Cassie, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Trev. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Great to be talking with you. Look, we're going to jump straight into my sister, Cassie ACT Report Review. Cassie, acronym for the Corporations Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Act. So can you give us a bit of background on that, please, sister?
Yeah, so I don't know how many people are actually aware, because we have over 3,000, Indigenous businesses and organisations around our country that are actually set up and governed by the CATSI Act. And on the 11th of December last year, the Minister for Indigenous Affairs, Mr. Ken Wyatt, announced the review. And since that time, the National Indigenous Australians Agency, or NIA, only received 68 submissions from those businesses and other stakeholders. And from that review, the NIA has now released a 64-page draft report.
NIA, what's the acronym for NIA?
That's the National Indigenous Australians Agency. So you know what PM&C used to be.
Thank you, yes, yes.
Indigenous organisations, it now sits in that new entity or organisation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit concerning that of the 3,000, over 3,000 organisations, only 68 comments were actually put forward to the, you know, the department for consideration around how the CATSI Act operates, either good or bad.
So is that it? All done? Or is there still time for interested people to be heard on this review?
No, it's actually good timing, and that's why I really wanted to talk about it today as part of my BBM topic, is because the agency has now released a 64-page report which summarises the issues that were identified by those submissions. And they've also, so there's a lot of pages in it and there's a lot of questions. But
probably looking like a telephone book, eh?
Yeah, it's quite big. But it's really important because it's now in, the report is now in the consultation period, what it's called. And so if Indigenous businesses and organisations that operate under the CATSI Act would like to make comments around, you know, the good, the bad and the ugly about it, they have until the 21st of September this year. So just over a month, maybe what, 5 weeks to actually put something together and put it into the agency.
Why is it important for the First People of this nation to take part in the consultation for this review?
So I don't know if many people have seen, there was an article published in the Courier Mail recently about some of the underlying themes, and they were pretty much very similar themes that ran through those submissions that the ORIC and the NIA had received. And a lot of these changes will require amendments to the CATSI Act. And it's really about, you know, we all, those of us who, you know, work with organisations and businesses and our PBCs, there is some good things about the CATSI Act, there's not so good things, and there's some pretty things that, you know, need a whole review. And the only way that the agency is going to know that they need to be fixed or how to fix them is if we tell them.
So exactly.
It's really important for those people who, you know, have been operating under the CATSI Act, you know, share their first-hand frustrations, and if they've got ideas on how they can improve it, they should definitely be putting that forward.
What kind of areas is the review looking to cover, as in what are they trying to achieve as such?
So it's they're calling it what they're calling a comprehensive review. So it basically means all areas of the Act are going to be looked at, but mm-hmm. they put them into themes. So they've got a number of questions around governance, operation of the Act. So whether or not, so that comes around things around how the organisations work, you know, the structure of our organisations, because, you know, to be a CATSI Act organisation, you have to have a majority of your members have to be either Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander. Mm-hmm. So there's just things around the actual makeup. There's also some issues that have been raised that once you have, you know, if you're a PBC and you want to set up an economic arm or manage money that you get from Native Title on Trust, it makes it really hard under the CATSI Act to do that. So they're asking questions whether or not, you know, there should be amendments to allow for more economic business opportunities that could, you know, fit under the Act. They're looking at any unclaimed monies,
mm-hmm.
Modernising the Act, and one that will be, there's two that are really big for some of my clients that I work with and just our PBCs around the country is officers of the corporation. So looking at the powers of the registrar, a lot of the feedback we get is that when corporations and members are struggling with the directors, that the registrar does not have enough power to either help with the officers or also help with, if they get into a bit of trouble with their finances and structure, they don't have any powers to go in and help them really fix things up. And the other one is really around the dispute resolution power. So where there's a dispute between directors or directors and members,
yes,
very little ability for the registrar to help. And that was a big criticism that came through the submissions. Now, the other big one was lack of transparency and accountability for PBCs, particularly around how they use their compensation monies that they receive. So for all of our PBCs listening, it's something you really should be reading and having a look at and making your comments on some of the suggestions they're putting forward, because it could put more responsibility on those PBCs that are already underfunded.
So when writing in comments to the government, it might be a bit daunting for some people. Where can listeners get help with making a submission?
So most of the land councils, so, you know, NQLC, Cape York, QSNTS, Carpentaria, they will all be able to help their PBCs, their NAV title bodies. If you're another Indigenous organisation or business and you're concerned and want some feedback, we can help. So, you know, if you want to just not too sure about how you should say something or what format, you know, you could always get in contact with us, and we can help guide you on how you would put that submission together. And there's also there's some information on the department's website about it as well. You can just send either an email to an email address on the link, or there's actually a number you can call and talk through your comments.
Lovely, fantastic. Oh, beautiful yarn, very important yarn for First Nation organisations around the country. Who's Murra Law? Let the people know.
So Murra Law is the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm that specialises in commercial and Indigenous land law, and you can check us out and get all our contact details online at our website, murrawalaw.com.au.
Fantastic, beautiful. Thank you very much for sharing, Cassie. All the best to you and your deadly team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, sister.
Awesome. Thanks, Trev. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dilly Young there with Cassie Lang, and she's from Murra Law, First Nation lawyer, and doing a fantastic job there looking after our mob in the legal world. And you can have your say, Yarn Up Strong, here on National Talk Black. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. We're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BB and Bumba Group Media, 98.7 FM. Go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give me a call, have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and the First Nation Radio Station in Cairns is Bumbo Brippin Media, BBM 98.7 FM. You can give us a call, have your say on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yes, we are living in a different world at the moment thanks to COVID-19. I'm going to catch up a yarn now with the Chief Investigator for Dr. Patricia Cullen Brown of University of New South Wales Medicine, and talking about the COVID-19 research call for domestic violence workers and doing a research on that. We've got Dr. on the line. Dr. Patricia, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. You're based in Sydney, are you?
I'm in Wollongong, Wollongong. Outside of Sydney.
Okay, cold country down there. We're in front of sunny North Queensland. So thank you for coming to the program. Look, a different world, as I stated, we live in at the moment, COVID-19. In regard to yourself being chief investigator for the DFV studies, COVID-19 has, like I said, turned the world upside down in the finances, in the mental health, physical health, employment, all the above. But we're going to talk to you about domestic violence workers and the space they're working in during COVID-19, research that needs to be done. So please add to the conversation there, please, Doctor.
That's exactly right. So we know that in times of crisis, and in this case it's the pandemic, there's increase in domestic and family violence, and we've certainly seen that in Australia. So we're doing this research to understand what's happening for families and how services responding to domestic and family violence have adapted to the way that they work. So interviewing staff who work on the front line. And what we've been hearing so far from staff is that at first, when the lockdown was issued in April, the phones were quiet. But now what we're hearing is that services are under immense pressure and that the demand for support has really surged.
And we're talking about across the board here, everybody who works frontline or in and around. So we're talking whether they're in healthcare or specialised in DFV services or other sectors such as legal or anybody who's dealing with frontline people, yeah?
That's exactly right. We want to talk to people from a really broad cross-section of services, including Aboriginal health services.
Yes.
We also want to talk to people who work in housing, legal and crisis support.
And the sad thing is, when we're talking about domestic violence, well, we're talking about the victim is living with the perpetrator. So that's a closed-in four walls and can't escape, so to speak. Not a good space to be in.
That's so true. And this isn't a new issue. You know, this has been around for way before the pandemic. And the issue is that home is not safe for everyone, and it never has been. So we want to be really clear that this is not a pandemic side effect, but there are multiple ways that the pandemic has contributed. And exactly what you said, isolation is a key tactic that perpetrators use. And the pandemic has effectively made this much easier because people are isolated at home with the perpetrator.
So have you started your research as such, Doctor?
Yeah, we have. So we've been talking to frontline staff, and they're incredibly committed and skilled in what they do. So it's a huge privilege to be able to speak with them. But the pandemic has put really big pressures on them as well, and that's why this research is important. It's important that we hear their voices and understand what they need in order to be able to do their work safely and feel supported in what they're doing.
So are you open for calls from the so-called workers to come to you instead of you taking them out into the people?
Yeah, absolutely. So we would love to hear from anyone who works in a role supporting people impacted by domestic and family violence. The details are on the University of New South Wales website, and my email address is there, so please email me and we can set up a time to talk.
Yeah, look, a very important conversation. So reaching out to the people, and we can the research, like I said, gives us information on what the pandemic has done, but how we also tackle the problem. It sort of brings a spin on the phrase they've been using: "We are all in this together." Yes.
Yeah, that's right, Trevor.
Very important. All right, thank you so very much, Dr. Patricia. All the best to you and your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Deadly yarn there with Dr. Patricia Cullen of University of New South Wales, and she's the chief investigator for the Domestic Family Violence Study. And there's been a call for research to interview workers in the domestic and family violence area, better to understand the Australia's responses in the context of COVID-19. So, look, if you're that way inclined, look, get in touch with Dr. Patricia Cullen on on the University of New South Wales webpage, all the W's, .unsw.com.au, and just hear from them. Yeah, they want to hear from you, so give us your story, tell them your story and the work that you're doing in this space and how we can help our beautiful women and children out there who are the main culprit of domestic violence. But have you say, Jan Armstrong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. And you call that number, Jan, with yours truly, the host for National Talk Black, is the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Runcurry, and live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummerbrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So give me a call, 1-800-422-416.
Trains, trains, get down in your veins. That rumbling diesel sound fills my dreams. Oh, trains, trains, the feeling never wanes. My long-term lifetime love affair with trains. My granddad and his mates were peddlers on the line. They worked the tracks right across the state. And every now and then I talk to some old railway men, and they bring old granddad's stories back again. Trains, trains, the feeling never wanes. My long-term lifetime love affair with trains. My mother traveled far. She ran the dining car, and the rattle and the clatter and the heat. She'd work the northern train and head back south again. And sometimes I'd climb aboard and she'd take me. Oh, trains, trains, get down in your veins. That rumbling diesel sound fills my dreams. Oh, trains, trains, the feeling never wanes. My long-term lifetime love affair with trains. Hey. Now when my boy and I watch the locos thundering by, I know he'll sing his daddy's song one day. Trains, trains, get down in your veins. That rumbling diesel sound fills my dreams. Oh, trains, feeling never wanes. My long-term lifetime love affair with trains. My long-term lifetime love affair with trains.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Very good morning, your daily Bob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from Nakurri, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So, look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with the chair of the New South Wales Bar Association First Nations Committee member, Tony McAvoy, on the line. A very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, Trevor. Good morning to you too.
Thank you for coming to the program, brother. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Yeah, Trevor, I'm a Wurundjeri man. We're McAvoys from around Claremont Way, and we got mob out too in Kalalee country out in Thargomindah.
Beautiful footprint there, my brother. Thanks, Cass. Listen, our yarn today, high targets to reduce Indigenous incarceration can be implemented quickly and safely. This is because of the report coming out regarding the closing the gap. There is a faster way and a quicker way and a safer way to drop down and reduce the Indigenous incarceration, yes?
Yes, that's right. We saw in July that the Joint Council on Closing the Gap announced some targets for reducing the adult incarceration rate, and we saw that the target that they set up was a 10-year target to reduce the over-incarceration rate by 15% by 2031. Now, some figures have just come out in New South Wales, where I practice as a barrister, and I'm on this committee, to show that during the COVID period between February and May, the prison population, the adult prison population in New South Wales has been reduced by 11% just in those 3 months. And when you look at the fact that the government can do that over a three-month period, it makes the 15% in 10 years seem a
2031, a bit too far-fetched.
A bit unambitious, yeah. And a bit conservative. And what the New South Wales Bar Association is saying, in support of the New South Wales Aboriginal Legal Service, is that the New South Wales government and, by extension, all state governments should be aiming for much higher targets, and we don't need to be constrained or brought down to that low target that the national government has set.
So if you look at it, Tony, regarding how the government acted in regarding COVID-19, reducing incarceration just because of the virus, it shows that it can be done, yes?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's been done in a way which has not resulted in an increase in crime. The crime statistics have stayed pretty well flat, and it hasn't put the community in any extra danger. It can be done quickly and it can be done safely for the community.
So when we look at the figures, 15% decrease, reducing Indigenous incarceration by 2031, yeah, that is too far down the track. That's 10 years down the track, and like the same old, same old. First Nation people, we're sick of the lip service, you know, and the old phrase, well done is better than well said, Tony.
Yeah, so look, it's way too long. The New South Wales Aboriginal Legal Service has been saying we want to have the same level of incarceration as the rest of society, yes, by 2031, not 15%. We want the same. And I think that that's an appropriate target to have. I think that we should be doing everything we can to ensure that we are incarcerated at the same rate as everybody else, because of the damage that we know that the prison system does to our people and our families and our communities. That it is a matter of national crisis, and it's a matter of urgency. And the New South Wales Aboriginal Legal Services is entirely correct.
Well, if you look at those figures, like you said, the 15% by 2031. So, if that's their figures that they're gauging by, then you're looking about getting 100% equality, similar to a non-Indigenous incarceration. We're looking at that 15% by six. By six, so that's like 60 years down the track to bring it back to normal.
2093.
Thank you, that's right, you know.
The date on which they've calculated it's going to
exactly
achieve equality at this rate. And I don't think there would be many people in Australia, black or white, who would think that time frame is acceptable.
Well, you close a door, which is closing the gap, it takes about not even a second when you close the door. This door is swinging very, very slowly, you know, when you look about 60 years down the track. So it's ridiculous. Look, fantastic conversation and very important conversation. And the government needs to take on board in regards to their action with COVID-19. There's the simplicity. There's the, how you say, the template that we can use, yes?
Absolutely. And so this has all been said in the context of the New South Wales state government, but there's no reason why the same principles shouldn't apply in Queensland, Western Australia, yes, and all the other states and territories.
Yes, yes, yes. When you say the old phrase, yeah, it's called common sense, but they don't call it, well, they call it common sense, but people don't use it like common sense. So go figure, you know.
Yes. Well, we can't stand around and wait for government to do it. We've got to tell them what we think is the appropriate thing to do, and hopefully they, in this environment of the new close the gap refresh targets, that they may listen to the Aboriginal community and those people in the in the legal sector, such as myself and the New South Wales Bar Association, who have experience and expertise in these areas.
Yes, exactly. And look, we as First Nation people, we've got the solution to our problems. So they need to take on board in regards to our concept, our idea, and our voices, yes?
Absolutely, Trevor. I've been hearing Aboriginal, Torres Strait Island, First Nations people saying that all over the country. We know what to
do. Years.
We just need to be allowed to do it.
Tony, look, a very important conversation, robust. Thank you very much. Listen, all the best to you, your team, your family, my brother. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, okay?
Cheers, brother.
Take care, bro. A beautiful yarn there with Tony McAvoy. He's the chair of the New South Wales Bar Association First Nation Committee, and the conversation, higher targets to reduce Indigenous incarceration can be implemented quickly and safely. The government's talking about, the federal government's talking about reducing the incarceration of First Nation people by 15% by 2031, 10 years down the track. Well, as you look at it, they dropped down the figures in regarding reducing Indigenous incarceration during COVID-19. 27% from February to June because of the virus. So if it can be done at that small time frame, then they can do it in regard to a smaller frame time frame than 10 years, 15%, which is small numbers anyway. Have you say your mob, Yana Strong, add to the conversation, this topic, yep, or any topic you want to talk about, all is here on National Talk Black with Trinity Trev Murray from Macquarie, and I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Darling, Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning circle, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Land and sea, listen. oggi loro. Oggi parlo un po' di arringaggi. Parlo loro con le nì. Gli altri banano con. Parlo loro con parlo io gianni. Ya le van a colir, ya le van a colir.